Welcome to Global Talk, a foreign affairs podcast from The National. We're speaking with Josh Wood, Middle East correspondent for the newspaper, about the recent fighting between Turkey and the Kurdistan Workers' Party, or PKK. Despite what was supposed to have been a push towards peace about 2 years ago, Turkey and the PKK have started fighting again. What happened?
Well, as the war in Syria continued and Kurdish militants inside Syria made greater gains, there was this really brewing distrust between Turkey and Kurdish forces, both in Syria and in their own country. There was a distrust from the Kurdish side that Turkey was supporting ISIS. They voiced at several points. And with recent talk of Turkey establishing an ISIS-free zone in the area north of Aleppo, a lot of Kurds in the region were their concern is that Turkey is trying to break up pretty much a continuous string of Kurdish territory that stretches from the point where Iraq, Syria, and Turkey meet all the way up to the town of Jarablus. And as Kurdish forces continue to make gains in Syria, Kurdish forces thought they might be able to continue their territory all the way to the town of Afrin, which kind of sits on an island northwest of Aleppo right now. As Turkey's made more moves on establishing this anti-ISIS zone, the Kurds felt that was a move against their power in Syria. So we've had this long brewing distrust, and things kind of came to a head in July. On July 20th, a suicide bomber hit a cultural center in the town of Suric in Urfa province here in Turkey. It killed about 30 people, and the bomber had ties to ISIS, but the PKK very quickly blamed the Turkish government. A couple days after that, they initiated an assassination campaign on Turkish police officers, both in the southeast and elsewhere in the country. It's not sure what the PKK hoped to gain out of this, or if they looked to initiate a larger conflict. I imagine it's unlikely they were looking to start a war. But Turkey responded very quickly, and on July 24th, Turkey declared a two-pronged war, hitting ISIS and the PKK, although it's been mostly focused on hitting the PKK.
And you've been reporting from southeast Turkey for the past several days. This is where most of the fighting is happening. What's the situation there now?
Well, in several cities in the southeast, places like Cizren, Slopi, and a few others, Kurdish militants belonging to a PKK affiliate have taken control of many residential neighborhoods. They've erected barricades at the entrance of their neighborhoods, sandbagged fighting positions. You have tarps strung up over streets, checked against government snipers, and you've seen quite a bit of fighting between them and the police and the army at times. Elsewhere, the Kurdish militants don't hold as much ground in the cities, and it's kind of a very big game of whack-a-mole. Kurdish militants will pop up in an area, maybe stay there for a few days, a week, 2 weeks, and fight. You have a lot of hit-and-run attacks in cities in the east. There's violence every day.
One of the interesting things that seems to be happening is that you've seen efforts by young Kurdish militants to take over urban areas as opposed to just attacking military bases. Do you see this as a shift in strategy, and what do you believe the aim is there?
Well, I think the aim is to show that it's not just the PKK trying to send a message through violence this time, and they're trying to show that they can hold territory and that they're pushing for a greater autonomy rather than just pushing for one quick specific gain in this. I mean, the PKK is renowned as a guerrilla organization that's at home in the mountains and at home at rural areas. Now, the problem with that for a guerrilla organization is that in remote areas or far away from populations as well. So I think they're trying to show they have popular support by being in cities, trying to show that civilians do support them as well.
Many analysts have said that this is something of a Kurdish moment now in the Middle East. You have an autonomous Kurdish government in northern Iraq and a lot of gains by Syrian Kurds in the north of Syria. It seems like the Kurds in Turkey want to replicate some of these gains. Have you heard any talk of a return to a separatist movement in southeast Turkey as opposed to the PKK's call for autonomy?
Definitely. I mean, right now in the region, in every country that the Kurds have a sizable population, in Turkey and Syria, in Iraq and in Iran, they're locked in, well, PKK-affiliated groups are locked in conflict right now. And they're really feeding off of each other. The PKK has always been an international organization with people coming from all over the Kurdish world to join it. But right now, the flow of fighters going from one place to another and just, you know, feeding off the energy of these different conflicts, I mean, it's been unseen before. A lot of people I've spoken to here who've had their relatives join the PKK or affiliated groups cited ISIS's siege of Kobani late last year as a real turning point that, you know, made their loved ones join. So here in Turkey, I mean, they're looking across the border, especially in the far southeast, where you're just a few miles away from, you know, what is a de facto independent Kurdish state in northeastern Syria. And they're looking to try and replicate some of that right back here. Now, when I talk to people about what they want, as far as people who support the PKK, a lot don't go so far as saying independence, but they say self-determination in their own area and a borderless Kurdistan region.
Could you maybe just explain for listeners what a borderless Kurdistan region would really mean?
That's currently unclear. I mean, when people describe it to me, they describe it as right now you have a whole alphabet soup of acronyms for PKK-affiliated groups in all these different countries. And on paper, they're technically different. But at the end of the day, they all go back to this very secular, radical Kurdish nationalistic ideology. That's been pushed forward by PKK leader Abdullah Öcalan. People talk about, you know, one day only having the PKK and only referring to it as that, and allowing Kurdish leadership to maintain the borders over between Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and Iran in the Kurdish areas by simply erasing them.
And finally, after this recent return to violence, is there any possibility for resuming negotiations? Or, with everything that's happened in Syria and in Iraq, and the hardline stance of Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan towards the Kurds, can we expect the violence to go on for some time?
It's hard to tell. A lot of people in eastern Turkey are afraid that the situation might return to what we saw back in the 1990s, which was a very open-ended conflict between the PKK and the Turkish government in the eastern part of the country. But on the other side of things, a lot of people believe that the violence on the side of the Turkish state right now is related to politics very closely. After Erdogan's AK party didn't fare as well as he thought they were going to in June's election, and he pushed for snap elections that'll be held on November 1st, people think that he's just trying to kind of stir Turkish nationalist fervor by reigniting this war with the Kurds, making a very ethnic thing. So there is a chance that it'll be limited.
To read Josh's stories, visit thenational.ae/world and follow the Foreign Desk on Twitter @thenationalrome.